It's time for Pageant Talk Radio with Valerie Hayes, the Pageant Coach. This is the show that will inform and inspire you as you prepare for your next pageant competition while helping you develop life skills that transcend pageantry. Now, here's the host of Pageant Talk Radio, Valerie Hayes.
Hello, and welcome everyone to Pageant Talk Radio. I'm Valerie Hayes, the Pageant Coach, and we're going to spend today's show sharing exciting information that can help you become an elite contestant. On Pageant Talk Radio, we understand the importance of developing real skills that translate to real pageant success. We want to make sure you have all the information you need to make this year your best pageant year ever. Well, I hope everyone had a great weekend. For those of you who follow my email newsletter or my e-zine, I want you to know that Mr. Bingley, one of my toy poodles, is home and recovering from his surgery. He's doing very well, and I want to thank everyone for the wonderful notes wishing him well. The situation, if you follow the e-zine, developed rather suddenly and actually created a scheduling challenge for me in order to get him in with the specialty surgeon. And I have to tell you, the surgeon was surprised how calm I was when I realized I would have to completely change my work schedule to accommodate Mr. Bingley's urgent medical needs. I told her that I was able to do it without any concern. I told her that I'm a pageant coach, and because the contestants I work with are really elite contestants and fabulous women who don't really fit the stereotype everybody has of them, that I had no concerns about working around Mr. Bingley's schedule. To get the full story about pageant girl stereotypes and what I think pageant girls are really like, just check out my blog at www.thepageantcoach.blogspot.com. That's www.thepageantcoach.blogspot.com. I want to remind everyone that they are already getting ready for the April 1st issue of Four Points Magazine. As most of you know, Four Points Magazine is a fabulous magazine for those of you competing in or considering competing in the Miss America pageant or the Miss America's Outstanding Teen pageant. The April issue is going to feature a wonderful interview with Katie Stamm, Miss America 2009. If you don't already have your subscription, go to www.4, spell it out, F-O-U-R, 4 points with an S, magazine.com. Make sure that you will be getting the April issue with the fabulous interview of Katie Stamm. And speaking of magazines, I want to remind everyone that Gladys Magazine is looking for models. They'd love to have people submit your photos so you can be featured in their brand new magazine. You can email them at info@Gladys, G-L-A-D-Y-S, magazine.com, or check out their website just by clicking on the Gladys Magazine icon on the Pageant Talk Radio icon page with the show page with all the icons on it. I think I said icons way too many times in that sentence. And last but not least, I want to remind everyone that there's still time to enter the Miss Teen and Mrs. Oregon International pageants. The entry for this year's pageant is February 21st, so you can still sneak in there. The entry fee includes the overnight stay in the host hotel, all meals during the pageant, pageant photos, a pageant DVD, and a generous gift bag, including the prize package if you win. To get more information, you can call or write the Oregon director, and her phone number is 503-360-4604, or you can find her on Facebook under Oregon International Pageants. Well, we have a really, really exciting show planned for you today. I'm so happy. Joining me for today's show is Marshawn Evans, entrepreneur and well-known author. She is a former Miss District of Columbia and was a finalist at the Miss America 2002 pageant. Marshawn and I will be talking about the importance of branding in your pageant interview. Then later in the show, I'll be answering your pageant coaching questions, plus talking about how you can use children's books to help you stay on focus for your next pageant. If you'd like to ask a question or add a comment, we'd love to hear from you during the show. To join the conversation or ask a question, just dial us at 888-463-6748. That's 888. Go for it. We're looking forward to hearing from you on today's show. Well, as I mentioned, today I'm talking with the amazing Marshawn Evans. Marshawn is an entertainment attorney, entrepreneur, and former Miss District of Columbia. She is the owner of Me Unlimited, a performance strategy firm, and president of Edge 3M Sports and Entertainment, a full-service branding agency. Marshawn is also, if she doesn't have enough to do, Marshawn is also the best-selling author of Skirts in the Boardroom, A Woman's Survival Guide to Success in Business and Life. We're so excited to have her here with us today. Marshawn, welcome to Pageant Talk Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I think what you're doing is wonderful, so I'm glad to be able to speak with you.
Thank you, Marcia, and we sure appreciate it. Well, you have to be one of, without doubt, the most diverse title holders in your areas of interest and your areas of success. Can you, first of all, walk us back a little bit and tell us how you first became involved in pageants?
Wow. Well, I grew up in Texas, so I think that's just a rite of passage. But
yeah, it's pageant central here, isn't it, Marcia?
It really is. I grew up in Texas, and I started out as a competitive baton twirler. And I believe I got my first entry form probably, and I was in late elementary school, to do a pageant. And my mom and I had never participated in anything like that before. But, you know, there was a lot of similarities between competing and baton twirling and kind of transitioning over into the pageant world. And it was a great experience. I'm glad that I did because it helped me to become a more well-rounded person. And I developed a certain level of confidence and esteem at a very early age that I think helped me later on.
You know, I think that is a mark of pageant contestants. They do develop a lot of self-confidence in their ability to speak to a lot of different people. But let's get back to the baton twirling thing, which is so cool. I always tried to twirl baton. I just want you to know it never worked. Out, Michelle. Talent for Miss America?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started competing when I was 9 years old, and the interesting thing about me as a baton twirler is I'm legally blind in my left eye.
Wow.
The doctors said that I wouldn't actually be able to twirl because it would be too big of a risk. They said because of the visual impairment, my hand-eye coordination would always be off, and my depth perception would make it almost impossible for me to coordinate catching. And it's a good thing that I had already started before they told me that, so I didn't know I couldn't do what I was already doing.
Yeah, right. You can't do what you're already doing, Marshawn.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes if you look at how things look, you won't get started. And I had just already dived in. And I competed at Miss America in 2001 and was fortunate to win the talent competition as a baton twirler. And, you know, over the years, people told me I needed to change my talent, that there's no way you'll ever, you know, do well as a baton twirler. And, you know, got to prove that wrong, which was a good feeling. But at the end of the day, it's what I was good at. And so sometimes just sticking to what your real talents are versus what everybody says your talent should be will prove best for you at the end of the day.
I think that's good advice because in the Miss America pageant, people are always giving advice about talent, and oftentimes contestants are encouraged to change their talent, and it really is about what you know is right for yourself. And of course, in the Miss America pageant, the interview is also so very important, and you were an interview winner. Tell us a little bit about your interview. Let's start with your interview at Miss District of Columbia and what you think made that particular interview stand out so that you were able to capture that title.
Well, I think the key to a successful interview is sincerity and focus. And I say that because a lot of times pageants are in part about beauty. It's in part about your image. It's in part about the show and the presentation. And what will happen sometimes in interview is that we will take that same mentality with us, which is a negative and a detriment to really being able to communicate effectively and honestly and sincerely. The best piece of advice that I got was really when I was 13, and someone said, you know, just say what's on your mind. And I thought, well, isn't that a new concept? As opposed to saying what you think the judges want to hear. And so sincerity is important because they're really looking to see who you are as a person, what it is that you stand for, what makes you different and what makes you unique. And I think what happens oftentimes in interviews is that girls will get so caught up in what they think sounds good or worrying about whether what they're going to say is politically correct or not, that they shut down their own personality and their ability to showcase who they really are. So that's important, but focus is important as well because you only have so much time to say exactly what you need to say so they can know exactly who you are, why you're the best candidate for the job. So to be sincere and focus are really the two key aspects.
And focus has a little bit to do with branding. and in that you really understand, you're focused on what your message is. And I know that you are a sought-after branding expert, and people, you know, pay you thousands and thousands of dollars for your advice. So we're so thrilled that you're with us today. How does what? Let's start with what is the basic concept of branding as it opposed to as it applies to a person. We all understand branding like Tide laundry detergent or Pepsi. We all understand that. But what is branding for yourself as a person?
Well, a brand at the end of the day is a message. That's all it really is. And the strength of your brand depends on the strength of your message and how you exemplify that, how you expand it. And there are a lot of things you can do to dilute your brand. And as an initial example, I think it's a good idea to look at a fast food restaurant. You might be used to going to one of your favorite ones, not if you're preparing for swimsuit competition, but you have a fast food restaurant that you're used to going to. You pretty much know what you're going to get, and your expectations may not be very high because maybe you're paying $5 for your entire meal. But if you go on the converse to a five-star restaurant, then you're going to expect a lot more because you're paying a lot more. And those two brands, two different restaurants but two different price points, communicate something different. The first communicates inexpensive, it communicates quick, and maybe even fun. Maybe that's the brand message of that fast food restaurant. The high-end restaurant is going to communicate quality, it's going to communicate experience. And so the question is, when people have a chance to see you, what is the message that you send across? What is it that they should be expecting to get from you when they speak with you? And really, that message begins with your resume. It begins with your essay questions. It begins even with your photo. And so I always tell women to take a look at where it is that they want to be, what is it that they want to project, and then to work backwards from there. Because what you want to project is not always in alignment with what you're actually projecting. And so, but at the end of the day, a brand is a message. And the question is, what is your message?
And I think, Marsha, and I'm sure you agree, that it's important that you communicate what is genuinely you as your brand, not what you think they want, right? So I don't have this vision of what last year's title holder was, and I don't analyze her to the nth degree, and I know everything about her and how she walked and how what her talent was and what her platform was, and I've read her bio 100 times. I don't copy that for my brand, right? So how do I go through what are three questions I could ask myself to help me identify my brand?
Well, it's a good question, and there's a couple of things to think about in terms of what your overall brand is and then what your niche brand is. I think when you're participating in a competition, a pageant, then your brand needs to be centered around, it needs to be relevant to your objective. Your objective is obviously to become the title holder, and so you want to make sure that your brand messaging fits that. And I make that distinction because my brand as a title holder is different than what my brand is as a professional, which would be a little bit different than what my brand is as maybe somebody who's trying to gain an internship. And so it is important to notice, to distinguish the difference, and I emphasize that because I want women who are competing in pageants to know that this is a wonderful opportunity to gain a variety of different experiences that will help you for the rest of your life. So as it relates to your pageant brand, part of it starts with what your platform is. You know, what is it that you want to be an advocate for? What are the experiences that you're having in your community, the experiences you have academically or even professionally that help exemplify why you are the best spokesperson for this issue? And all of those things should relate together so that when you get ready to write your essays, you have a core focus of where it is you're trying to go. And you don't just have to write about your platform. You can write about your professional experiences. You can write about what you're doing in your community. You can write about your vision. And in doing so, that you should still be able to tie everything together. The judges want to see a well-rounded person, but they want to understand why you are what makes you different, what makes you unique. And I think that extra level of focus is really what becomes the distinguishing factor.
That is so helpful, and obviously you were very successful as Miss District of Columbia and then top five at Miss America that year. Can you describe to us how you branded yourself in order to make yourself an appealing potential contestant for that title. So how did you brand yourself and how did you brand your platform? What was your unique appeal as a contestant?
Well, my platform was titled United Against Crime, Investing in Youth for a Safer Future, and my focus was youth crime prevention through leadership development. And so I always say that the title of your platform should sound like the title of a national book tour, because it needs to be catchy, it needs to be something that is pleasing to the ear, but it also needs to be specific in communicating what you're focusing on. And so the first part of my title, United Against Crime, indicated crime prevention. And the second part, Investing in Youth, it also tied into what the solution was for preventing crime. And so there were certain questions that didn't have to be asked because the title is clear. And so that's one of the first things that you need, is a very clear, concise, and catchy platform title. Not overly wordy. And when I say not overly wordy, it needs to be as long as it needs to be to communicate the message. But sometimes I think platform titles are very cute, but not relevant. They're not, they may not be clear in saying exactly what it is you're doing, but it sounds catchy. So it's not important to rhyme.
So for example, if someone just read the title, if a judge, all they had was the title and they didn't have the platform statement, they could ask questions based on the title because it communicated enough about what it was about. Is that right?
Exactly. It should be clear enough to communicate what your platform is about, and it should also still sound good. That is not necessarily an easy thing to come up with, so it takes time and it takes effort to do research and to look at what phrases will really be good to tie into your platform title. The second thing is in looking at the types of appearances that you want to make and that you want to be involved, what you want to be involved in the community, which local, state, national organizations you want to affiliate with or partner with, if there are pieces of legislation that you want to advocate for, you have to do your research. And that's the one thing that I really impressed upon women, is it's your responsibility at the end of the day. It's not your director's responsibility. It's not your mom's responsibility. It's great to have that support and help, but I guarantee you that if everybody else does your research for you, that will show through in your interview. And you will not come across as sincere or authentic, because your passion really has to come through. And so a woman who has applied herself and studied and researched, that level of commitment will come across in the interview. You should be so hungry about this issue, so passionate about making lives better with regard to your topic, that you can't help but look for the information, and that passion will come through as well. And so part of honing your brand is being educated on it, being educated on the challenges that are facing your issue, and being involved. You know, being able to talk about youth crime prevention was one thing. I could do the research online like everybody else, but being able to walk into an interview and talk to the judges about working with a kid who was in gangs or with a young woman who was 12 years old, very sexually active, and in a juvenile detention facility, and having in the process of mentoring her one-on-one. You know, I have a personal first-hand experience that I can talk about that is sincere, and that's what I mean by sincere. You have to be willing to live your platform and not just talk about it.
I think that's a really important point. And, of course, you were a National Community Service Award winner at Miss America and also won the interview. Is the interview at the national pageant exactly the same, or is it different from the state level?
I think judges will challenge a contestant as much as they think a contestant can take. And the more prepared you are, and let me say this as well, I think it's important to be prepared, but it's just as important to be personable and relatable. People have to be able to touch you. And early on, that's something I struggled with. You know, I was very caught up in the academia, and I talked about crime issues, so I always got asked about the death penalty. So they sometimes were very heavy political topics, which was not
right.
A bad thing, because it can be a very intellectual conversation, but at the end of the day, they want to make sure that you can still go and sit with a group of kindergartners and interact with them as well. So you have to be able to show your personality, But I think at Miss America, they're looking for all of those things. They're looking for a woman who can command the national stage in a press conference and deal with tough issues. But they're also looking for an all-American woman who is personable and relatable and approachable as well. I think that I had a very well-rounded interview. My year was a little different because my class was there during September 11th, and the spirit of competition had certainly changed. The reasons for being there had changed as well. It was a tough time for everybody. I remember being at rehearsals, and what was supposed to be rehearsals had been suspended. And
right. I remember there was even some talk of postponing the pageant.
Yes, there was. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing a loud wailing and a crying, and it was because one of the hostess's sons was a pilot on one of the planes that had gone down. And mm-hmm. so, you know, America had a heavy heart. And so I think that came through. If anyone has a chance to ever go back and watch those interviews, I think those were a different set of interviews. And I think what they were looking for reflected, you know, a person who embodied America and what they needed at the time. And so, you know, I had a tough interview. I had a personable interview. But also I think it's a product of, you know, what people will expect from you based off of what you put on your resume, how you come in with your opening statement, and the stage that you set. You set the tone at the end of the day.
Right. And I think that really is an important distinction about the Miss America interview, is that so many contestants go in with the one goal. Their number one goal is to impress the judges, impress them with their community service work, impress them with their intellectual and academic success, and to impress them with their knowledge of current events and their positions on the topics. And I think that's a great goal, and you absolutely have to do those things. But they also have to love you. If they do not love you, if you're not relatable and personable, they will not vote for you. And I can tell, I tell girls all the time, if they are impressed by you, you will place but not win. If they're impressed by you and love you, then you will walk home with the title. Don't you think that's probably an accurate depiction of what really takes place in there?
Absolutely. And I say that as well to my clients as now as professional, that people do business with people that they like. People hire people that they like. People will crown title holders that they like. It's really the same thing, because there has to be a fact. There's something that you hear about a lot called the it factor.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you have it is not just how smart you are. It's a certain type of magnetic quality that you have to have. It's a confidence. It's a charisma. It's a sincerity. It's a personality. And those things have to be interwoven. And when you take that with intellect, with a well-researched, polished person, then you have a really deadly combination where you,
right.
And that's what you want to have when you walk into an interview room. And you have to know you have it, not just hope that you have it, but know you have it. And there's a level of humility that you still carry with you, but there's also a certain level of self-assuredness that you have, because you're not, you know, when I went to compete, yes, other people were there, but I wasn't competing against others. There wasn't, you know, nobody else had my platform. Even if they chose the exact same issue, it wasn't, their platform wasn't my platform, because they didn't have my experiences. And,
right.
And so you can't get, and this is the easiest thing, I think, for women in general. Talk about this in my book as well, but we can't keep comparing ourselves against each other. And that's something I'm glad that I learned in the Miss America program in competing, that you can be in competition without competing against someone in a negative way.
That's so,
you are so
true.
As an individual, so much stronger, so much more focused, and so much more confident when you have that type of attitude, because anytime you compare yourself against someone, something negative always results. Maybe you're going to become envious. You know, you look at the nicer dress in the back, in the dressing room, and think, I thought I had a great dress until I saw that dress.
Right.
Maybe that can mess with your psyche as well. So comparisons are never good.
You know, I think that's a really important point. And obviously, you had all those things together and definitely had the it factor since you won the interview at the Miss America pageant. And, you know, those are all really great, important points. And amazingly, it's already time for our first break. We've been talking with Marshawn Evans about branding yourself and your platform for the Miss America platform pageant. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to hear more from Marshawn about how she used her pageant experience to become a successful entrepreneur and best-selling author. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back on Pageant Talk Radio. Hi, this is Valerie Hayes, and I want to let you in on a secret. I've just released an audio CD of my Mastering the Pageant Interview Teleseminar, and I'm making it available to listeners of the show. The CD includes 3 audio files plus transcripts for easy reference. You'll learn how to spot and handle trick questions, the correct length of an interview answer, 3 tips for closing an answer when you're struggling, my easy technique for answering controversial questions, plus 2 secrets for winning in the onstage interview. Just pop the audio CD in your computer and listen, or download the files to your iPod. What could be more convenient? But the best thing about my new Mastering the Pageant Interview audio CD is the low price of only $99.95. I want you to know, though, that as soon as the audio CD is posted on the website and available to the general public, the price is going to go up. So get yours today by visiting www.tinyurl.com/PAG-MTPI for Mastering the Pageant Interview, so you can be pageant fab at your next pageant.
Are you looking to pump up the volume and versatility of your pageant hairstyle? At pageantfaces.com, we've got all the options you need to create the look you've been dreaming of without damaging your natural hair. We offer undetectable clip-in extensions, micro-mini clamp hair extensions, collagen bond extensions, as well as fusion extensions. Why take a gamble on off-the-rack extensions when you can have custom-selected extensions that are right for you? Visit pageantfaces.com today, or email us at imageconsulting@airmail.net. Let us help you find the perfect extensions for your winning look. Do you have the number one tool used by elite title holders to create a winning pageant interview? Do you want to ace any question during your pageant interview? You need to get your copy of Valerie's 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions today. The biggest mistake contestants make when practicing is using a limited list of practice questions. If you're practicing on your own or with the same practice partner, you're going to be practicing the same questions over and over. It's just hard to think of a wide variety of practice questions on your own. Valerie's 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions eliminates that problem and helps you prepare to answer any pageant interview question. Plus, the questions are specific to your competition division. 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions is a downloadable ebook. Just download it to your computer and start developing your interview skills today. Visit Valerie's website, www.pageantinterviewcoach.com, and click on products. With Valerie's Perfect Practice Pageant Questions, you're on your way to a winning pageant interview.